I always rejoice when Leslie gets up to sing because she introduces me many times to songs I've never heard. Beautiful, beautiful songs. Great message. Thank you so very much. His words will not fail, but they will prevail. His words, His promise. Well, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn into His Word, to Psalm 100, if you would. Psalm 100. I'd like to speak on a title of a message this evening that I believe will be a help to me. If it's a help to me, I think it might be a help to someone else. Pursuing a heart of praise. Pursuing a heart of praise. Now, before we read this text, let me make sure that you understand my meaning here. You might think, as soon as I say that, oh, well, this message is not for me because I'm not musical, okay? That's not me. I don't sing. When I sing, the frogs quit croaking, you know. No, I'm not talking about praise in song, although that is an ultimate way to praise God. I believe it is, because it is a way that unites all three parts of our being. It unites the physical part, the vocal cords and the lungs and all of that. The body is involved in singing. It unites emotion, you know, heart. Excuse me, music is the language of the soul. The emotion, and you hopefully hear someone's heart as they're singing. I certainly did as I listened to Leslie. I heard her heart. And so emotionally, physically, but also spiritually. And so when we praise God in song, it unites all three parts of our being, and it's a wonderful thing. But you don't have to sing to praise God. You don't have to. And so let's just take a little exercise here for a moment. I'm going to ask you to fire out, just go ahead and give one word, just one word description of who God is. One word. Now, don't give us a whole phrase or whatever. If you have a phrase in mind, then narrow it down to one word. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or whatever. Just fire it out. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I should have to. Okay, at once. Okay. How about over here in this far section? Let's start over there. Anybody over here? Mighty. Merciful. Wonderful. What was that?
Holy.
Okay. Mike, I didn't hear yours.
That's a conjunction of I am.
Oh. Okay, I am. Conjunction. Okay, all right. Anyone else in this section?
Creator.
Good. How about in this next section over here, up front?
Comforter.
What?
Comforter.
Comforter. Wow, that's a big word for a small guy. That's great. Comforter, I love that. Love.
Everlasting.
I was going to say love.
Love. Emmanuel. Awesome.
Endurance.
Loving.
Just.
Courage.
Pardon?
Great physician.
Okay, we're over here in this section. Savior. Redeemer. Sustainer. Almighty.
Unchanging.
This is good. How about over here? Up front here. Savior, omnipotent,
sovereign,
omniscient,
faithful.
Wow,
everlasting.
Counselor,
father.
Yeah. Amen. How about over here? Up front. I'm sorry.
Friend.
Light.
Grace.
I'm sorry.
Grace.
Amen. Forgiver. Back here?
Approachable.
Wow. Yes.
Majestic.
Faithful.
Graceful.
Wow. Anyone else over here?
Holy.
Holy. Wow, we didn't have that one yet. Yes.
Shepherd.
Shepherd. How about over here in the far section, up front? Working our way back. Oh, go ahead. You know, go ahead and fire it up.
Jehovah.
Wow. Wonderful. Anyone else?
Healer.
Healer.
King.
King. Wow. Very good. If you want to revolutionize your prayer life, before you start on your shopping list of prayer requests, spend some time telling God these kinds of things of who He is to you. It'll change our attitude about our prayer list, about our personal need. Sometimes things, whenever we say that He's our sustainer, then that'll preach to us about something that we were going to ask God that I need. I need this. No, I need you. I need you. If it's more than an intellectual exercise like we did, if it's more of a reflective shot of praise to Almighty God, it'll enrich and fulfill your heart. Now, let's read Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. Read this last verse with me. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank You so much for the sweet spirit we sense here. And Lord, I thank You that You are here in our midst. And I invite You now to speak to our hearts through Thy precious Word. Lord, I pray that You would fill me with Your Spirit. Forgive me anew and afresh, and cleanse me anew and afresh, I pray. And Lord, I pray now that You would, Lord, do a great work in those that came hurting tonight. And Lord, may You change our heart because of where we put our eyes and our praise. Lord, we ask these things trusting You now. We'll give You the praise in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. I was in fifth grade when my father brought home a dog from the pound. His name was Prince. The first and only pet that I'd ever had. Prince was a boxer. Had a little bit of Great Dane in him. They hadn't cropped his ears the way some boxers are. Had the floppy ears. And because he had a little bit of Great Dane in him, His snout wasn't smushed and smashed as much as some boxers. He was cute. He was on death row, you know, there at the pound. Brought him home. And we had a wonderful time learning how to care for a boxer. If anyone's had a boxer before, you probably know this, but we did not. We didn't have any idea that it was important how you fed the boxer, physically how you fed him. Not what you fed him, but how you fed him. You know how pets become part of a family. They think they're people. But we would take a bowl that was his bowl. We'd put Purina and put warm water in that thing and he would eat that. Sometimes we put some Alpo in there, and boy, but then he couldn't keep it down. Day after day after day, he couldn't keep his food down. Well, our dog is sick. We took him to the vet, spent a lot of money. We were going to take our dog back to the pound, and unfortunately, you know, no one really had a good answer. Until my father was at the store, at the pet store, and he had tried all kinds of things. I probably shouldn't share this, but my mother would actually take the Alpo, a can of Alpo, and she would take a spoon, and she would feed him out of the spoon, and he would lick that spoon. He would keep every bit of that food down. My mother said, "I've raised 3 children. I am not spoon feeding a dog the rest of his life." Someone told my father, said, "You've got to elevate the dish off the floor. It doesn't go down and digest correctly. It'll come back up." We put it up on a little soap box where he just kind of walked up to it, and there it was, and he was cured the rest of his life. That dog was precious to me. We had him in the backyard, fenced in and all that kind of thing, and we lived on a very busy road. One day he got out in the front yard and he just wanted to see what was out there. I was in 5th grade and he was built like a tank. I didn't have a choker chain on him or anything. He didn't even have a collar on him. And I called him and he just kept on going. He went out of the front yard and down the street. I thought for sure some car's going to come along and kill him. I took off running after him. I tell you, if I'm lying, I'm dying. There was times he turned around and looked at me and almost had a little grin on his face and took off. 4 legs run faster than 2. He knew that. I chased him, hollering, screaming, yelling at him, come here, boy, you know, all kinds of stuff, whistling. Finally, he got kind of tired. He'd had his run and had his fun. And I kind of just walked up to him, very tender talking, not to spook him or scare him, all that kind of thing. I reached down and petted him and grabbed the fur on the back of his neck. And I got both hands. He's a very strong dog. You know how boxers are. And I grabbed a hold of both, and I walked him home that way, all the way, walked him home. Probably better part of a mile, walked him home, never let go of him. I brought him home. He was important to me. I wanted him back home. Listen, folks, there are some people here that have let praise get out of their life. They've let praise get out of their home. And you might just need to grab a hold of that and bring it back into your life. Because I'm telling you, praise is critically important to us as Christians. We're going to praise something or someone, and we better be praising Almighty God, and here's why. Number one, praise changes my focus. Praise changes my focus. We're going to look at a lot of passages this evening. If you want to listen, that's fine. If you want to turn to Acts 16:25, that's fine. Acts 16 and verse 25. This is a story of Paul and Silas, and they are in the jail. In 16:25, they're in Philippi. We read this verse. The Bible says in Acts 16:25, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." You know the story. You know the account. You know how at midnight God sent the earthquake and busted them out of prison and all that kind of thing, and the gates flung wide open, the locks and all that were released. And they didn't run off. They didn't run away. And the Philippian jailer got saved that night. May I tell you today that it was not just because of the great miracle of the earthquake. It was that he saw something very real and very different about these men. As they were scourged and as they were beaten and as they were whipped, he saw a different reaction about them. You see, their focus was not on themselves. When you praise someone, it changes your focus to the person you're talking about. It gets the focus off of ourselves. We as American Christians, we've got a problem. We've got an eye problem right here. It's me. It's me, O Lord, stand in need of prayer. Lord Jesus, please help us to get our focus off of ourselves. Praise will do that. It really will. If we take time to praise God and tell Him who He is holy, He is just, He is King, and on and on and on, and praise Him, it'll change our focus. We're going to hasten to number two. Praise not only changes my focus, praise confirms my faith. Praise confirms my faith. Turn to Psalm 71, if you would. Psalm 71, verses 14 through 19. Psalm 71, verse 14. The Bible says, "But I will hope continually and will yet," what? "Praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hast done great things. O God, who is like unto thee?" We sometimes have forgotten this part of our prayer life, this part of our worship, and we go straight to what God can do for us. Listen, folks, that's an anemic Christian existence. It truly is. We don't have Jesus as a genie in a bottle. No, He is the sovereign, almighty King of kings and Lord of lords. We expect Him to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Although He's promised to take care of us, although He's promised to take care of His children, our existence is to praise Him. That is why we are here, to fellowship with Him. That is why He created us. And you'll find a close communion with God in that kind of worship and in that kind of prayer life. You'll find that. Praise not only changes my focus off of myself to Him, praise confirms my faith in Him. Confirms my faith. You know, a lot of people, I think, sometimes have forgotten they're purged from their old sins because of the way that they live in their daily life. But praise will confirm our faith. Number three, praise conquers my foes. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. This is a great, great story. I wish we had time to read the whole chapter, but Jehoshaphat was a godly king. And the children of Ammon and the children of Moab got together, and they decided to gang up together against Israel and to clobber them. And they had all the weaponry and all the soldiers necessary. They were coming with overwhelming force. We have a state trooper, police officer in here. We have some former military in here. And it is good strategy to attack your foe with overwhelming force. If you want to succeed, then make sure that there is no chance for failure. That is what Ammon and Moab, what these folks did. They got together and they said, "We're going to wipe out Israel." Jehoshaphat had no defense. Let me pause for a moment and plug it into our daily life. The doctor comes to you and say that your daughter has an incurable disease. That your son has a physical problem that they cannot help. Someone has stolen your identity and they have taken your whole retirement out of the bank. And they're sorry they can't do anything to restore it. I mean, all kinds of scenarios I can picture for you here right now. We can just go on and on. That is the kind of devastating news that came to Jehoshaphat. And he was responsible for the nation, and he had nothing to fight with. Not in comparison with the multitudes who were coming And it does mention out of Syria. But anyway, verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 20, verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, and of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." If we stop right there, that'd be enough. Verse 16, "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Hold it there. Pause for a moment. Did God say what he was going to do or how he was going to do it? Sometimes we want to examine God's plan. We want to put our stamp of approval, our seal upon it, you know. But God doesn't answer to us. And God didn't have to explain himself and give all the details. He just said, "I'll take care of you." Verse 19, "The Levites and the children of Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high." They got happy. You know, if God's in charge and God's in control and what God is doing, we would think that what goes on in a football game is okay. But when someone gets gloriously saved and there's not so much as a holy grunt in the house of God amongst the family of God's people, something's wrong there. There's a priority difference. There's something not quite right. It's okay to praise God. It's okay to lift up his glory and his praise. Verse 20, "And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper.' And when he consulted with the people, he anointed SWAT members, sharpshooters." No. He anointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come out against, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. You can read the whole story for yourself of what God did and how God gave them the bounty and all that they spoiled them and took all their goods and all that kind of thing. God conquers our foes when we praise him, when we give praise unto him. I'm not giving you some secret. I'm not giving you some trick or something that would say that every time anything unpleasant comes in your life, just praise it away. I'm not saying that. Because the Apostle Paul himself, who had raised a young man from the dead, healed people that were sick, he said, "I have this messenger of Satan that is sent to buffet me. I asked the Lord three times to take it away, and the Lord said, no." There are some things that God allows in our life that are unpleasant for his glory. But those are really few and far between. Job scenarios don't happen all the time in our life. But Satan would want to tell us that God doesn't want what's good for us. Satan would want to convince us not to trust God, but to blame him. Amen. And the Holy Spirit says, "No, you believe God and you praise him." Amen. Praise him on credit. His credit is good. Praise conquers my foes. Number four, praise calms my fears. Psalm 42. If you'd like to look at that with us, please. Psalm 42. It's always good to mark verses that God speaks to your heart about. Psalm 42, verses 5 through 11. Calms my fears. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth in a deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down on my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. The psalmist is saying here, he's saying, in the face of my enemies, in the presence of the difficulty, I refuse to do anything else but to praise God. He is good all the time. All the time. Praise will calm our fears. And last, Psalm 104, you're already in Psalms. You can turn over just a few chapters there. Psalm 104, verse 33, praise conditions me for the future. Conditions me for the future. In school, they have PE to condition us. On a ball team, you have training and practice to condition you. When I played basketball in school, we had to run those sprints and the plays and just run around the court and all that to condition us so that when the game came, we were prepared and ready and would not faint and would not give out. The coach pushed us harder than we would be pushed in any game so that we'd be assured that we would be conditioned to handle it. God is conditioning us for the finish line. Doesn't want us quitting. Praise conditions me for the future. Psalm 104, verse 33. Look at that with us, please. The Bible says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. There is never a time, whether someone is 5 years old or 95 years old, there is never a time that we have done our bit. There's never a time that we can just say, okay, it's time for me to retire from Christianity. That day is the day when we take our last breath and our heart beats that last ounce of blood. And when God calls us home, until then, I will yet praise him. And when that takes place, then we see him face to face and we praise him as we should have been praising him all along. Amen. It conditions us for the future. Who holds the future? Hebrews 13:15. The Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's already in tomorrow. He's already in forever. He already knows what our needs are right now. You know, there's an argument that someone might actually say at this point, might say, you know, if God already knows our need, why do we have to tell him what we need? He wants to hear from us. That's true. He wants us to express in faith. He wants us to present our request to him. Yes. But sometimes, listen please, sometimes God uses our needs to bring us to our knees and to humble our hearts and say, God, I am nothing and you are everything. If you don't help me, I'm hopeless. And Lord, I love you and I give you my praise. I'm just going to spend some time just loving on you. Praise will change our focus, conquer our fears, all these things. Pursue a heart of praise. We're going to praise something. We're going to praise someone. And it might be that this has slipped out of your life. It might be that, you know, because of the busyness of what's going on and the joy of having a place to serve, oh, I got to get to choir practice. I got to get to choir practice. I got to get Sunday school lesson ready. Oh, Tuesday night visitation. I got to go and do something for God. You know, do something for God. It's great. Wonderful. I got to go to work. Got to go to school. And we're doing all these things. And those things are not bad. But in doing those things, sometimes we push out the time of praise. And sometimes it has escaped out of our life. You know what we need to do? We need to do like I did. Just grab a hold of that thing with both hands and bring it home and say, I'm going to do this on purpose. I'm going to make a decision to praise God. I'm going to make it a part of my prayer life, a part of my worship. That's what congregational singing is all about, folks. It's about together praising God. Great is thy faith. Sing with me. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. If you sing that to God, if you sing that to Him, it'll change your heart. It'll bless His heart. It'll move His hand towards you. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, eyes closed.